right. It is good to see everyone this morning on this glorious and beautiful November morning in Waynesboro, Tennessee, and we have gathered together to just praise Jesus. We're going to be in John chapter 14, verse 6, and we're continuing our series on one of the boldest declarations that our Lord ever made. It's undeniable. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says this. He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father but only by me." Let's go to Jesus in prayer. Father, as we call on you today, I just ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just touch our hearts with your truth. Father, that we would grow in our determination and in our discipline to walk with you even more closely. Father, you have been so, so good to us. And you have blessed us in so many ways. You have blessed us when we didn't even think about you. You blessed us when we didn't even know you. You blessed us when we were yet enemies and not saved. But yet, Father, you are patient and kind and loving. And Lord Jesus, we praise your holy name today. And Father, I ask you for forgiveness of daily sin, weekly sin, and a cleansing. I pray to be cleansed by your precious blood. And as our praise worshipers just sang, Lord Jesus, Lord, I need you, I need you, I need you. And Father, we all need you. And Father, we thank you that in every need we have, you are the fulfillment and you are the answer. And Father, I just pray for an anointing of your Spirit now, to be washed and cleansed by your blood, to be anointed and filled with your Spirit. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us. In your name we pray. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 6, we have been studying. Jesus said, "I am the way." And we studied that. What he is saying is, I am the only way to God. I am the only way to eternal life. I am the only way to salvation. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare them for you. I go to prepare a way for you. And through my death, through my resurrection, through my ascension into heaven, I am the only way to God. And then he says, I am the truth. He says, I am a great prophet and I am a great teacher, but I am more than that. I am the manifestation of all truth. I am God in the flesh. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah of Israel. I am the creator of the universe. I am the head and the authority over the church. And I am the Lamb of God. I am the truth. Everything I say about myself is true. Jesus said, every claim I make and every work I've worked. And now we get to this statement. I am the life. So what does he mean by that? What does it mean when Jesus says, I am the life? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, let your Holy Spirit teach us. Let your Holy Spirit guide us. Father, get me out of the way and let's just let your truth speak to us in a special way. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. In the Greek language, we have more expansive words and definition than we do in the English. So when you see the word life, it can be one of two words. The first word is bios. B-I-O-S is the word we get biology from. Bios means physical life. When the scripture said, when we see the word life as in living, the word bios means you're alive, you breathe, you have organs, they function, you are not dead, you are bios, you are alive physically. But when Jesus says, I am the life, the word that is used is Zoe, Z-O-E. Zoe. And let me give you the Greek definition for Zoe. In the Greek culture, Zoe means the principle of life concerning the spirit and the soul. The principle of life concerning the inner man. And so what does that mean, Brother Leo? The inner man is where your conscience is. The inner man is where your emotions are. The inner man is where your intellect and your mind is. The inner man is where your free will exists. And the inner man in man's inner spirit is the ability to reason. So man's inner spirit is the ability to reason, the ability to have free will, the ability to have a mind, the ability to have a conscience, all these inner workings. But what heightens it above any other being in creation in man's Zoe within his inner spirit is the capability to know and understand God. The capability to know and understand God. Now, I know some folks are dog lovers, some folks are cat lovers, some folks are like me and they're both. Some folks are horse lovers. I mean, I love everything. I love all the animals I've ever had. And I want you to understand, animals can have emotion. They can be sad, they can be happy. They can know they've done wrong at times. You can scold them. Animals make decisions and they make choices. Animals can figure things out. They've done many experiments with monkeys. They've done them with mice. They've done all these things. Animals can figure things out. But animals do not have the capability to know God. You and I do, and that's what our Zoe is all about. It is man's spirit, man's inner spirit. So go with me to Romans chapter 8. And let me show you a couple of verses concerning your Zoe. And when Jesus says, I am the life. And I'll bring you into that here in a moment. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15. The scripture says this. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry out, Abba, Father. When you get saved, you come to a place. Ephesians tells us that when we're lost, we're children of disobedience. When we're saved, we become a child of God. We cry out, Abba, Father. So, Lehman, anytime you're watching a liberal television show, or anytime you're listening to a liberal politician, or anytime you're listening to this liberal culture, and they stand up and they say, oh, we're all children of God. My friend, that's a lie. We're not all children of God. Ephesians chapter 2 says that when we're lost, we're children of disobedience. We follow the father, our devil, whether we know it or not, and we're not a child of God. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and you cry out, Abba, Father. You become a child of God. Now, doesn't mean God doesn't love everybody. In Romans 5, it tells us God loved us when we weren't the children of God. God loved us when we were children of disobedience. God loved us when we were the enemies of God. So they can say God loves everybody. That's true, but not everybody's a child of God. You become a child of God at salvation. So he says, when we receive the Holy Spirit, in verse 15, we cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. So the Holy Spirit comes into my heart and he unites with my spirit and I know I've been engrafted into the family of God and I'm now a child of God. Go with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says this. And because you are sons, and because you are children of God, where you cry out, Abba, Father, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So when you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, it says, if you have not the Holy Spirit, you're none of His. When you become a child of God, you receive the Holy Spirit. But that word heart there is cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. And it basically means the same thing as Zoe. Or it basically means the same thing as the attributes of your pneuma, your spirit. And your cardia is your heart or your mind, your ability to think, your ability to reason, your ability to have free will. And he sends the Holy Spirit in your heart. And so people will say in the South, or people will say that are involved in evangelical churches, they'll say, I receive Jesus Christ into my heart. What they mean by that is, I have received the Holy Spirit into my spirit. So when we talk about this, the life, we're talking about man's inner life. We're talking about his Zoe, his free will, his inner spirit that's been created with a capability to unite with God's Holy Spirit, the resurrection spirit of Jesus Christ. And until that happens, there's always a void and there's always emptiness. There are people that are baptized. There are people that are church members. There are people that are in church today. Billy Graham believed 80% of the church membership was lost and did not possess the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So, now, I want you to go back to John 14, verse 6, and I'll give you more of this Greek meaning. And this comes from a theological standpoint or a biblical standpoint for Zoe. In John 14, 6, the scripture says this, and Jesus said unto him, I am the life. I am the life. Now, from a biblical standpoint, it still speaks about the inner spirit. But when it is applied to Jesus, it means this. When Jesus is speaking about his life, it means this. It expresses all of the highest and best which Christ himself is in his perfect life. When Jesus says, I am the life, he is saying, I am the perfect life. I am the life that has never sinned. I am the life that will never sin. I am the life that expresses perfect love, complete love, patient love. I am the life that is totally righteous. I am the life that is totally divine. When Jesus says, I am the life, he is saying all of these things. And he's basically saying, I am eternal life. I am everlasting life. I'm the source of it. And we'll see this in a moment. It expresses all of the highest and best which Christ himself is in his perfect life, and this life that he offers to man by his indwelling spirit. And this life that he offers to man by his indwelling spirit. It's like Paul said in Galatians, the life that I now live, the life that I now live in the flesh is no more my life, but it's Christ's life living in me. Yeah. So when Jesus says, I am the life, he's talking about all that he is in his life and what he offers to you by his spirit. And when he indwells you, I have the life of Christ living within me. So, Jesus says, I am the life. Not bios, but Zoe, this inner state of blessedness in Christ Jesus when we get saved and indwelt by the Spirit. So, I've laid out the theology, the definitions. Now, let's look at some of the verses. Go with me to 1 John chapter 1. Still John talking, all right? John's talking in the gospel. John's writing in the epistles. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I am the only way, I am the only truth, I am the only life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 says this. John saying, that which was from the beginning. You know, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, the Word was with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who wrote that? John. So he's saying it again. Which we heard him speak, we saw him with our eyes, we looked upon him, our hands handled him, we hugged him, we ate fish with him, we walked the shores of Galilee with him. He is the Word of life. Zoe, the Word of life. He is the expression of eternal life. For his life was manifested here on earth, We have seen it. We bear witness. We show unto you that eternal life, his eternal life, which was with the Father and then came to earth to live here among us. Now, what I want you to understand here, John is saying about Jesus that he is the manifestation and the source of eternal life. That he has existed in all times. He will exist for all times. But for 33 and a half years, that life left heaven and came down here on earth. And John and all the apostles saw him. They talked to him. They experienced him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So what's the promise? The promise is this. You have eternal life in me and in me alone. And Jesus says that. So what I want you to understand, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying this. Gandhi may have been a good person, but I'm greater than Gandhi. The Pope might be a good guy, but I'm much greater than the Pope. Your preacher might do well with a sermon, but I'm much, much greater than your preacher. What he is saying is, I am the life, everlasting life, eternal life, God's life, divine life, and you've got to have my life living in you to be saved and born again. And when you receive Jesus' life in you, it changes your life. And the life that you now live is different from the life that you used to live. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. Here John's still talking. 1 John chapter 5 verse 13 says this. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Yes. That you may know that you have eternal life. Now, I want you to understand something. Everybody's going to live forever.
Yes, that's
right. Bobby, from that standpoint, everybody's got eternal life.
Yes.
That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about eternal life in him. But everybody's going to live forever.
Yes.
But you are going to determine your destination eternally while you're here on earth.
Amen.
Are you going to live eternally with Christ,
yes,
in his eternal life? Are you going to live under damnation and under judgment and under torment that's been created for the devil and his angels? And that's just the truth. And this culture will say, you know, that's not popular. We don't need those kind of preachers. And we don't want to hear that kind of stuff. My friend, I cannot preach to you the Bible that tells you about heaven and leave out the parts of the Bible that tell you about hell.
Amen.
You know, everybody's going to have eternal life. But what he's saying is that you may know that you have eternal life, and the kind of eternal life that is based on your faith in believing in the name of the Son of God. Now, go back to verse 11. This is the record that God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is only through a relationship, a personal relationship in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that does not have the Son of God has not life.
Amen.
Now, what does that sound like? Sounds like Paul in Romans. If you got the Holy Spirit, you belong to God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. My friend, it's easy.
Amen.
It's simple. We got a man. He is running for governor in Mississippi. And I saw him interviewed. And he's come under all kind of opposition and criticism, because he came out in his campaign and he said if elected, he's not bending over backwards writing legislation for what the culture calls transgender. And they said, well, what do you believe? He kind of chuckled. He said, I believe there are only two genders. That you're either born a male,
yep,
or you're born a female.
Amen. Amen.
And when you're born, you have organs that are male.
Yes.
And when you're born, you got organs that are female. And the issue is settled.
Yes.
Now, he didn't take it the step further that I would have. Maybe he just didn't think about it, but I'm sure he knows this. And that's as basic as it can be. Why, Brother Leo? Because you know what the Bible says? In the beginning, God created them, and God created them male and female.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's simple.
Yes.
Well, what I just told you is simple. If you have the Spirit, you belong to God.
Yes.
If you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to God. And then John says that God has given us this record. Eternal life is in his Son. And he that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. So I want to say to you very simply today, do you have the Son? You know, do you have the Son of God living in your heart? You know, it's like I tell folks all the time, they'll say, what are you? And most people will say, well, I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm a Catholic. Well, I'm a Methodist. I'm just going to simply tell them, I'm a born-again child of God, washed in the blood and indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
And that's what I'm going to say.
Yes.
So Jesus Christ says that you have eternal life, and it can only be found in the Son. I am the light. 1 John chapter 5 verse 19 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness, and we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. I am the truth. We are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. I am the light. It's just that simple. So strip everything away. And if you're listening on the website, strip everything away. Do you have the life of Jesus Christ connected to, united with your life by the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, united with your spirit in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And strip everything else away. Now, you can't study life without studying death. So go with me to John 11. Y'all are quiet today. We must be subdued. Patty, I'm going to just have to tell you. She embarrassed us on that boat. Didn't she? I'm not joshing you. There were waiters not assigned to our table that would actually leave their table just to come to ours and watch Patty eat. It was amazing. It was amazing. Guy Fieri has a hamburger stand on the boat. We were on the boat 7 days. She ate 8 Guy Fieri cheeseburgers with a large, what is that, spicy fries. Yes, yeah, thank you, Keith. Spicy fry, because her husband's got Crohn's disease, okay?
Well, Keith was right there with
you. Liz and I, bless our hearts. You know, you can get two entrees. You know, and there are times, you know, Patty would get, and these people think I'm teasing. I am telling the truth. On appetizers, she would get, there's two salads, she got them both. You can get shrimp cocktails. She'd get shrimp cocktails, tiger shrimp. She'd get, there were times she ordered 4 appetizers. On entrees, you could get 2. She would get 2. And desserts. Every night, the standard on dessert was she wanted a fruit bowl. She wanted a scoop of vanilla ice cream, a scoop of chocolate ice cream. And she would get, what was the cake?
Chocolate
melting cake. Or she'd get, what was the one on the last night?
Baked Alaska.
Felipe, he'd come up and he'd go, Miss Patricia, what are you having tonight? Thursday night, she just sat back and handed him the menu. Yeah, it was embarrassing. I was embarrassed. But and I know Patty's not out here to defend herself, so when all y'all go back there and say, oh, Brother Leo said this and Brother Leo said that, she is going to tell you, he's right this time. Yesterday, let me tell you what happened yesterday, and I got to get back in the sermon. I can't eat, okay, because I'm having to get on an airplane. And we don't want to have problems at 60,000 feet. You know what I'm saying? Can't open the window. Can't ask the man to pull over at the next rest stop. So I can't eat. We're going to bed about midnight, Friday night. She's filling out her little room service card. This she filled out every morning. That's 2 fruit plates, okay? 2 fruit plates, and the way they do them, they do your plate, and then they do a cover on it. And so that's 2 fruit plates. Then she gets 2 Danishes. Then she gets scrambled eggs. And then she gets a chocolate milk and a white milk. I asked for just a cup of coffee. Little Filipina lady, you know, bless her heart. I would say to send 2 to carry it, but she comes in. So Patty eats all that. Well, we're hung out on the boat because of the emergency. So we go up to Keith's room and Liz's room because we're going to wait and get on the boat, get off the boat at 4 o'clock. Keith, do you think they're doing the hamburgers? Oh, yeah, they're doing the hamburgers. So there they go, and they get the big cheeseburgers and the fries. We get to Charleston. We get shuttled over to Charleston. She did not eat at the Charleston airport. We land in Atlanta. We're going to to the next gate that we're going to connect on. Chick-fil-A? They got Chick-fil-A? Deluxe Chick-fil-A waffle fries. We land in Nashville. Midnight, we're coming through Columbia. You want to stop at the Waffle House? I'm telling the truth. If you're on the website, the 2 people with me are shaking their head. And what did she order at the Waffle House?
All-star.
The all-star breakfast. We had to put her at another table. You get a waffle, you get grits, you get hash browns, you get this, that, and the other. She got what? Crisp bacon, extra crisp bacon. A big chocolate milk. Thanks, Liz. I forgot that. Y'all tell her, Liz, help me. I had an outline on gluttony and she tore it up. All right, you can tell we went to bed at 3 a.m. All right. John 11, verse 25 says this. And Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die, believest thou this. Now notice what he says. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. So anytime you see Jesus saying, I am the life, I want you to think 2 or 3 things. Number one, I want you to think he's saying, I am eternal life. I am eternal life. I am the only way to live eternally with God. So anytime you see that, you think, I am eternal life. And then you think John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So when Jesus says, I am the life, he's saying, I am eternal life and I am everlasting life. And then he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And so when Jesus says, I am the life, he's saying, I am the resurrection life. I am the life that has the power of the resurrection. And so when I believe in Jesus Christ, I receive eternal life, I receive everlasting life, and I receive resurrection life. And what does that mean, Brother Leo? Well, it means what Jesus said. I will never die.
Amen.
Now you say, you mean, Brother Leo, you're never going to die? My inner man, my Zoe, is never going to die. Now, what do you mean? My Zoe is going to leave my body one day. Now, if I die before the rapture physically, my body is going to go on the ground. But because I am saved, the resurrection power of Jesus' life that now lives in my spirit is going to raise my body one day, glorified to be reunited with my spirit. But what I want you to understand, my Zoe, my inner spirit, is never gonna die. I'm gonna leave this earth, I'm gonna leave this body, and I'm gonna go into the glorious presence of Jesus Christ. Now, how can my Zoe die? How can my inner man, my inner spirit die? Well, I want you to understand, biblically, when the inner spirit dies, it does not mean annihilation. It does not mean that my inner spirit just is burned up or poof and it's annihilated and it's gone. Well, how do we know that, Brother Leo? We know that from the rich man and Lazarus. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said that Lazarus was a poor beggar, and he said when he physically died, he left the earth and he went into Abraham's bosom. But he said the rich man, when he died, he lifted up his eyes from torment. So what does it mean to die in your Zoe? Death in the Zoe, death in the inner spirit simply means to be totally, absolutely, and completely separated from the source of life. And the source of life is God. So I want you to understand, when we die spiritually, when we die as a lost person, it means that we are separated from God.
Amen.
And so what Jesus is telling Martha there, he's saying, Martha, if you believe in me, you will never die spiritually. Now, your body might die physically, but if it does, your spirit is with me alive, more alive than it's ever been, in heaven forever. And you will one day be reunited with your body. But if you die without me as your Lord and Savior, if you die without me and the indwelling spirit united with your spirit, you are going to be separated from God forever. And you're going to experience a continuous death, a continuous torment, but not annihilation. And that's a false doctrine that goes everywhere. People believe and people are taught that folks that get saved, they go and live with Jesus. But folks that reject Jesus, they're annihilated, body, soul, and spirit. That's a lie. We're all going to live forever. Our eternal destination is decided and it's settled today. So when Jesus says, I am the way, he is the only way to God. When Jesus says, I am the truth, he is the manifestation of the Son of God in everything he said. And when Jesus says, I am the life, he is the source, he is the embodiment, he is the manifestation of the eternal life of God here on earth. And that's what we do. And I want to tell you something. Having Jesus Christ in your life, it's the only way to live.
Amen.
Yeah. I am alive.
Yeah, thank you.
I have a life. I have a physical life. I have a bios. But I want you to know my Zoe is united with Christ. And having Jesus in your life is the only way to live. And as Sandra said a moment ago and someone else said, I don't see how in the world people make it without having Jesus' life in their life, in this life. To have Jesus' life in my life, in this life, is the only way to live. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I want more of your life living in me and through me. I want your life to consume me and fill me by your Spirit. I want to be able to say with Paul, it is no longer I that lives, but it's Christ living in me and through me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this life. Father, every breath we take is a gift from you. You breathed into Adam the spirit of life, formed it out of clay. And so, Father, our bodies are yours, your creation. And Father, when we get saved, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. May your life shine within our hearts. Lord Jesus, may your life refresh us and renew us. May we be filled with the joy and the peace and the kindness and the love and the compassion and the patience of your perfect life. As we still carry around our fallen human nature, we want more of you and less of us. Thank you that you're living in us. And thank you that it's your desire to live through us.